Could you do me egg, bacon, spam and sausage without the spam then? What do you mean? I don't like spam!
Spam, 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 spam.
This is Life Spam. Give us 5 minutes of your life and we'll fill it with spam. I'm going to talk David Bowie. David Bowie. I've said it both ways. I'm neither a Bowie nor a Bowie. It's just these David, whatever I'm in the mood for. And I think that is sort of going to be the gist of my point for the next couple of minutes. It's interesting. Obviously, regular listeners of Life Spam will know that we use the Monty Python skit Spam as our intro, shamelessly ripped off from YouTube. It's kind of ironic that on this show we are talking about another 70s icon, Sir David. That's how I pronounce it. I'll just call him Sir David, and in that way I'm not getting my Bowies and Bowies and Bowies all mixed up. He's a 70s icon too, although the point I'm about to make, and I think it's important I say this now, I'm not a music critic, I'm not a music expert, so what do I know? I'm just someone else who listens to music. So I'm not going to sit here and attempt to give you my take on what Sir David means to music. What I'm going to try and do is relay what he meant to me. And my greater point is, I'm going to try and tap into not what he meant to all people, but the fact that he meant so much to so many different people. So hear me out. Obviously, he's a 70s icon. Now, while I'm of indeterminate middle age, I wasn't really very musically educated in the 70s. If you grew up, if the things you remember are the Osmonds and the Partridge Family, then that does date you a little bit. So my musically formative years did not come until after that. So while I listen to all his old stuff, I am of an age where I've always listened to his old stuff. Like, it was never his new stuff. Ziggy Stardust is just a little bit, not before my time, but before my time of having a quantitative and a quality of musical opinion. Ziggy Stardust, Changes, they're all songs just a little bit before me. I can enjoy them now, but I didn't enjoy them when they debuted. And I know, to steal a phrase from a colleague of mine, and it's a distinction without a difference in that, we all end up listening to them for the first time. But what I mean is, when it was new, it wasn't new to me. When it was new to me, it wasn't new. There you go. There's a turn of phrase that I hope describes what I mean. David Bowie has had... Gosh, it's weird when you say that, when someone's just died and you do use sentences like he's still living. He had a long and varied career. He's a great musician, obviously. But I hope that people remember him as transcending, very strong word I know, but transcending his form of the arts. What I mean by that was, David Bowie was more than just music. He was image. He was style. He was fashion. He wasn't just someone you listened to. He was someone whose album covers said something to you. He had all these different faces. He wore all these different clothes. Transgender, single gender, makeup, no makeup, long hair, short hair. He was this wonderful, transformative artist, a chameleon of an artist. And so therefore, combined with his longevity, I'm going to make an argument that he means something to a great many more people than other acts, artists, rock artists, who, for all intents and purposes, are probably bigger than him, bigger than he was. What I mean is this. Rolling Stones, The Who, Bruce Springsteen, they've been doing the same thing. And I don't mean that, I'm not having a go at them, but they've been doing the same thing, and pretty good chance they've been doing it for the benefit of the same people. Yes, they attract new young fans every time they release a record or every time they tour. But at the end of the day, the bulk of their following, well, it's the people who've kind of been with them all the way along. Sir David, on the other hand, well, he can appeal to you either in the guise that you were first exposed to him, or if you didn't like that, if you didn't like 90s alternative David Bowie, well, you can go back and listen to 70s David Bowie. And if you don't like that, you can listen to 1980s chart-topping David Bowie. I'm not saying, I don't want to reduce this to this sort of trite, well, he's better than that. I don't mean that at all. I'm not saying Bowie is better than the Stones, the Who, and Springsteen. Not at all. Not in any which way. All I'm saying is this, is that he had this amazing quality, not to be all things to all people, but to be something to everyone. I mean, that's slightly different. I mean, that there is a distinction in there. I think of him a little bit as, he's a bit like Doctor Who, that great British science fiction character who regenerates every couple of years and a different actor comes along and plays him with slightly different quirks and tics, but still inside he's the same old character. Or maybe he's a bit like James Bond, where, you know, as you know, I'm a James Bond fan, you're either a Connery guy or a Roger Moore guy or a Pierce Brosnan guy. But then again, in a strange way, those two characters are still the same character. They're just played by different people. Bowie's an artist. He tried everything. Rock music, disco, world music. I don't know. I don't listen to some of that stuff. So I haven't listened to David Bowie doing that stuff. But I do listen to him doing the stuff that I like. It's not just having a long career. It's not just having a varied career. But I think one of the reasons there's been such an outpouring of tributes and grief has been because, well, he means something to everyone. He represents some point in their life. I know I've been on my social media in the last 24, 48 hours, depending when you listen to this. All those Facebook tributes where people throw up a picture and a quote, or they play a clip of their favorite song. Guys I know, guys I grew up with, they have different favorite songs than I do. And they may think that a different era entirely of David Bowie is better than the one that I would attribute as to being mine, even though we're of the same age. I think that's the point I'm making about David Bowie. I was a little kid. I was sent away to boarding school when I was young. When I was at the younger preteen boarding school, that means I'm very intelligent, being a private school kid. I have a classical education. Anyway, there was a rule when you were listening to music in your downtime in the common room. There was this old record player. There were 45s and people would bring in their 33s. There was a standard rule that the headmaster had laid down. You could listen to two pop songs, but after every second pop song, you had to play a classical song. Now, being back when this was, there was a pretty good chance someone might throw on a clean Sex Pistols, or an Ian Dury, or a David Cassidy might find its way on there. But after every two of those, you had to play a classical song. Then that could come off the record player. You could play two more. Anyway, when I went on to my next private school, my high school boarding school, to combine British and American terms, well, there were no rules. You were older, and there was no one laying down what music you could play. There was just someone telling you to turn it down if it got too loud. At the time, we had the radio in the common room area was constantly turned to one of the pop stations. And I remember it was about that time that David Bowie's Scary Monsters and Super Creeps album was big. Fashion, Ashes to Ashes. Great songs. And I remember hearing those songs all the time. And whenever I hear those songs now, it makes me feel of that particular time in my life. Young teenager, away from home, desperately learning to get on with people you don't know. And there's no running home at the end of the night. You are stuck there for 12 weeks with those people. I can still remember walking into that common room area to get my books, the radio blaring, and it was either Adam Ant or David Bowie. That period of David Bowie, that album, reminds me of that part of my life. So, if you said to me, what's your favorite David Bowie album? I'm probably going to say that one. It's not to say I don't like the other songs. They're great. But for some reason, that's the one that I'm holding dear. I love his next album, Let's Dance. Had Let's Dance, China Girl, Putting Out That Fire. That was the Serious Moonlight Tour. I remember around the time of that album, that's when I learned to... That's when I sported light grey trousers, narrow ties, and I fell in love for the first time. So there you go, that album says something to me. It signifies that time of life when you slowly find yourself going from boy to man. Of course, that was also about the same time that he made Dancing in the Streets. Less said about that, the better. Even the great ones drop clunkers, right? Anyway, David Bowie's a legend. He will be a legend. He's a living legend. And I'm going to say in the one piece of musical criticism / artistic analysis that I'm going to give you, made great music, but he made a lot of music that could speak to a lot of different people at a lot of different times. In the history of rock, there will be artists that would have sold more records, that will have made more money, would have played more tours, but not entirely sure that there will be someone who is able to touch so many different people at different times as David Bowie. Fall apart, but it's unknown.